why are we here today on Easter Sunday? One of the things that the Bible, God's Word, teaches us in 1 Corinthians 15 is that if the resurrection of Jesus Christ really happened, then there are sweeping implications for every single person's life that has lived on the face of the earth. Jesus has a claim on everyone's life, and all of us will stand before the risen Savior someday. And if that is true, then it has to change how you live your life and what you do with your life. For those of you who are familiar with Christianity, the resurrection of Christ is the centerpiece of the Christian faith. Without it, it doesn't mean anything. It's just religious stuff. It's the hinge point, we believe, of all of human history, in fact. And so we gather today, this morning, because we really believe in His resurrection, that it gives us a hope and a future, and we hang on to the promises of Christ that someday that He will return. And some of you are here investigating those promises this morning, and we'll give you a chance to think about that, and we'll talk about it a little bit during this message. There's a book out called Teaching the Elephant to Dance. I don't know if you've seen this book. It's written by this man named James Belasco. And basically, he talks about how trainers, like in a circus, like when they're talking about teaching an elephant to dance, we're talking about elephants that have been put into the circus and are performing and dancing around and doing, you know, spinning circles, stuff like that. And what he talks about is how what they do is they'll take elephants who are very young and they'll shackle them. They'll put a big metal ring around one of their legs with a thick, heavy chain, and it's stuck into the ground with these deeply embedded stakes. And so these little elephants, these baby elephants, they learn very early on that their movement is limited, that they have very little freedom, that they're in chains. And what happens is they learn to stay in their place no matter what the circumstances are. Even in panicky moments, they learn that they have to stay in their place because of these chains. And what happens is as the elephants get older and more powerful, it's interesting because they actually never try to leave, even though a full-grown elephant easily has the strength to be able to just rip the stake out of the ground and just drag its chain along with it. In fact, at some point, what ends up happening with well-trained elephants is they just keep a metal bracelet around the leg, but it's not even attached to anything. There's no chain. There's no stake. And yet they don't run. They experience no freedom. They're in chains up here. As we talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I want you to know that through Jesus, His historically recorded resurrection is the proof that Jesus Himself has power and authority to keep His promises. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, He says that, "I've come," He was reading scriptures, and He's saying, "I'm the one that was sent to set captives free." But oftentimes for many of us sitting here in this room this morning, many of us are like these very powerful elephants that many of us, even though we were actually free in Christ, we come here bound, we feel bound with many chains in our lives. And so this morning, as we talk about what kind of various restraints there are in your life, even though Jesus says, "In me, that chain that you think is around your foot, it's gone, you're set free." But many of us come here and we bring all these hopes and dreams to Christ, but we don't experience real freedom in our lives. And so let's not talk about the pie-in-the-sky, religious-sounding stuff. Let's talk about the nitty-gritty of life this morning. Let's talk about, is there power available from Christ? And I want to ask you this morning to consider, what are some of the chains that bind you in your life this morning as you come here? And is the resurrection power that God exerted to raise Christ from the dead available in the nitty-gritty areas of your life? Is it possible that He would like to set you free, or that He already has? Let's look at the next slide. You see up on the screen this thick, heavy chain. It kind of that many of us carry around, and what it represents is the difficult circumstances of life. And for some of us, it's that picture of when a calamity kind of comes out of nowhere and maybe something happens in your life that you weren't expecting, that you weren't anticipating. It could be that your work pressure is unbearable. It's overwhelming. Some of you, the way you live your life is you're running so fast that all you're doing is trying to keep up, and you don't know when to stop. You can't slow down, because if you were, you would fall behind, or you would get overrun, or you'd be left behind by all the people around you. And so you feel like, I don't have time to take a break. I don't have time to spend time with my family and my kids. And I'm running, and I'm running, and I'm running. to keep up with the performance issues that drive me. That's your chain. Some of you are suffocating under a financial mess in your life right now, that you feel the pressure of perhaps a mass of debt in your life, or trying to keep up with the Joneses around you. Some of you, perhaps you go to a routine doctor visit and you get bad news that there's something in your body that's not functioning normally. And some of you, you get a phone call in the middle of the night. It's never good news. In the summer of 1981, I've shared with some of you before, I was almost 9 years old at the time, and my brother and I, we spent about a month in New Jersey at my aunt's house. And I still have to this day the distinct memory of sitting around the circular dinner table, and my aunt and my uncle, my cousin, my brother and I sitting around that kind of iridescent, kind of fluorescent yellowy light that's probably not good for your health. Sitting around eating dinner and getting ready as we're finishing up dinner to have a bowl of ice cream for dessert when my aunt gets a phone call. It was my mom, and she called. She was so distraught she couldn't even talk to her kids to let us know that our father had passed away that evening. And some of you get phone calls like that in your life. I remember that evening, 9 years old, didn't want ice cream after that, went to bed, just cried throughout the night. And the interesting thing for me was that I spent the next decade of my life thinking about how life is not fair. And if there is a God, because I wasn't a Christian at the time, that God is not fair. And the interesting thing about it was, as I carried that weight of that life circumstance, that chain in my life, I became more selfish and more entitled. You ever feel like that when you get hurt by things in life? That, well, life has treated me bad, people have treated me bad, therefore I deserve certain things, I'm entitled to certain things, even if it's at the expense of other people. And it made me also an angry and bitter person. I carried a huge chip on my shoulder for such a short little Asian guy. Some of you, when hard times come, are going to be like that. And you're going through it right now. You want to run from God when actually you need him the most in the middle of this hard circumstance. And you're angry with God. And the good news is that, you know what, God is so big he can handle your anger. But don't stop talking to him. Some of you have stopped praying. Some of you have stopped attending a church. Some of you are trying to distance yourself from God and his people. And so what you're doing is you're carrying around the hurts of life with yourself, trying to just bear it up on your own, especially those of you who are proud people. You don't like to tell other people about your troubles, so you try to carry it on your own. And what ends up happening is that you're ignoring the weight of the chains that are sitting on your shoulders, so they're twisting and bending your spiritual and emotional spine. And so you become a depressed person, a grumpy person, a defensive, entitled person, a bitter shell of who you were meant to be and who you wish you could be. When what Jesus says is that you could actually give these chains up to him. Jesus gives us some promises regarding life's burdens and hurts and disappointments and circumstances. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, he tells people through one of his followers that you can cast all of your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And some of you, you need to really absorb that, because the way you look at God is he's this angry, like, you know, grandfatherly figure who's punishing you every time something bad happens in your life. But actually the exact opposite. He says, you know what? When you have anxieties, when you have stress, when you have problems, you can cast all those stresses, all those anxieties upon me because I care about you. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says to people who will come and follow him, if you want, you can come to me. All of you who are very weak, who feel weary, who feel heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For those of you who are crushed by life's stress and anxieties, he wants to give you perspective. He wants to take that stress off of my shoulders and put it onto his shoulders. He wants to give you strength to bear up during those hard times. He wants to help you experience peace and joy even in the midst of the storms of life. And some of you came here today carrying very heavy chains of hurt and disappointment in life, and Jesus can help with that. And we'll give you an opportunity to see if he can do just that for you. The next one Next chain is probably something you've seen before. What is the old saying that people call like when you get married, that your spouse becomes your old ball and chain? Yes. Some of you are nodding your head internally right now. If your spouse is sitting next to you, don't do it externally, and because you can get yourself and me in a lot of trouble. Okay. My wife is not a ball and chain. I'm the ball and chain in our relationship. And the reality is, if you actually knew yourself and were as self-aware as you think you are, you would realize it actually cuts both ways, that probably, yeah, my husband or my wife is the old ball and chain. No, buddy, it's you. It's you. It cuts both ways. But the reality is that the chains that we have when it comes to relational issues that form, they aren't really about the other person. The chains that are forming your life around relationships, it's not the other person themselves so much as the hurts that come out of our relationships. Isn't that true? That we experience relational pain, and a lot of times that can cut to the deepest part of our souls, even more than physical pain, even more than other hurts and losses in life. When you are having a major issue with someone you love, it can cut into you, into that deepest part of you, especially when it comes from marriages, from family, and from the people that we really love and care about. And when we talk about relational issues, some of you, you're single, and you wish that you were married, and your heart hurts a little bit about that kind of stuff. I understand. It took me a long time to get married. So some of you who are here this morning, your issue is that you're single and you wish that you were married. Some of you are here who are married, and if you're honest, you wish you were single. Not biblical. But the reason why is because you thought that marriage would solve all your problems. Getting married to the love of your life would solve everything for you. But it turned out that that brought a whole slew of new problems into your life as well, because it turns out that both of you, if you're a husband or a wife, you both brought in all the baggage that you had from your past relationships, your past hurts, and then you blame them on your spouse and for your issues. And so that's what happens when two people who love each other collide and start hurting each other and wounding each other. For some of you, you're here and you wish that you could start a family. Some of you, you wish that you could get along with the family that you already have. Some of you come this morning and you are completely alone. And some of you, even in the midst of a crowded room, you still feel lonely. Some of you are at bitter odds with somebody that you care about very deeply, and you don't know when the next blow is going to come, or the next blow up. And my challenge for you is, what if the hurts that you have, or the sarcasm that you experience in the conflicts that you have, the sharp, unkind, defensive words that you use, what if Jesus gave you the courage and the strength and the wisdom and the compassion to respond with His words, with His love, to be able to break the cycle and break the chain that's around your heart? Many of you have come here this morning struggling with relational hurt. And God says He understands. In Isaiah 61, verse 1, it says that Jesus was sent to bind up the brokenhearted. So if you're hurting, that God wants to bind that up for you. And in Psalm 68, verse 6, for those of you who are lonely, it says that God sets the lonely into families, that He puts people around them to love on them. I want to share with you a story from a couple members of our church. Jovan and Christina Almendrala shared a story with me, and I asked for permission to be able to share this, and they were so gracious in wanting to share their story about their relationship. And they write, "We went through some very trying times for several years. In 1990, we were baptized together. Our pastor then warned us before the baptism that we would go through trials as Satan tries to snatch us away from God. And so we served God as much as we could, leading Bible studies, having small groups at our house regularly, and everything was going well with ministry and family until we fell into sin. Without going into detail, we found ourselves purposely hurting each other. And this went on for about 9 years. 9 years. And the children were hurting too. We tried Christian marriage counseling. We did this for 4 to 5 sessions, but we were too proud to admit our mistakes and stopped. We considered moving away to another place to start afresh, but that didn't work. We considered divorce, but whenever one of us brought up the topic, the other would believe that it is not God's will for us. So each of us in our own private time fell on our knees, cried, and begged for God's intervention. We didn't tell each other that we were praying to God separately. We stayed together believing that we can still be good parents despite our differences. And this was a lie. When you and your spouse are not on good terms, the children know and they hurt. And we could see it in our youngest child and our older children as they distance themselves from us. And in 2004, one of us left home without telling anybody. After 4 to 5 days of searching, the spouse asked the other to come back. And we both realized we couldn't live without each other. And the best gift we could give to our children was to work on our marriage and make them feel that they are secure in our family. We learned that the devil is full of lies and deceit. He made both of us think and believe that my spouse is the enemy. But we both realized that when things go wrong, my spouse would be there for me and would stand up for me. So God taught us well and carried us throughout those 9 difficult years. He stayed faithful to us, no matter how grievous our sins were, no matter how stubborn we were. He cleaned out the gunk in each of us. And our faith in Him is stronger, and there's nothing that can come between us and God. And for those of you here at the Crossing has been very instrumental in our healing and spiritual growth. We appreciate how the brothers and sisters accepted us as we are. And we gave it all, ourselves, our marriage, everything to God, and let Him do the work. We learned there was nothing we could do on our own, and as we tried all sorts of ways to fix it, we just had to lean on and obey God. Isn't that an amazing story? That God resurrects broken and dead things, even marriages, even relationships that are hurting. Many of us drastically underestimate what can happen when the love and the power of Christ is at work to resurrect the brokenness and the relationships around us. I bet you that when your human heart is filled with the love of Christ, that it might set you free from some of the chains of relational pain, might fill up some of the emptiness, might heal some of the brokenness, might move you to become more Christ-like and more loving, which is very attractive to people if you're single, and it is very wonderful to live out and experience when you're married. And it might even move you to confess when you fall short and to be able to forgive and to reconcile with people in a godly way. God wants to break those relational chains. What else binds us? Let's look at another chain. These multiple rusty, blood-encrusted chains represent all the various sins and addictions that can enslave us. And some of you, you know, your religious radar is going up. Oh, okay, here we go. The pastor is going to guilt trip us in some way. That's not what we're going to talk about this morning. What we want to talk about, though, is this idea of sin. Some of you who have heard my life story know that I am a recovering addict. When I say that, I don't say that lightly. I talk about my own life story of being someone who was addicted to drugs, to nicotine, to various sexual things, etc. And when I share my story with many of you, you see the power of Christ at work. But here's the reality of what you're really thinking, though. Praise God that He did something so powerful in that guy's life. Thank God it's not me. But here's the reality. Every single one of us sitting in this room, you are an addict. You're an addict to what's called sin. And sin is all that stuff, just like what addicts do who are alcoholics, just like drug addicts, just like sexaholics, like foodaholics. Whenever there is stress, whenever there is pain, there are certain things that we turn to self-medicate and comfort us. And what sin is every time you think about all those wrong things that you've done, the wrong things that you said, because in a moment of stress, you're angry at your spouse, or you're angry at your coworker, you're angry at your boss. So you said the wrong thing, you did the wrong thing. You're angry at your son, you're angry at your child. During those moments of stress, think about the things that we do, that we turn to self-medicate, to alleviate our stress and our pain. And it's all that ugly stuff. We're trapped in moral filth and addictions that we've gotten used to. Everyone knows what it's like. I've said something dreadful. I've done something awful. I've dwelt on something terrible in my mind. And we don't want others to know, so we keep it secret. We rationalize, well, this is not hurting anybody. Instead, it's destroying yourself. You just don't know it. And it's destroying your ability to connect and relate with God and with other people. That's what sin does. The Bible describes it as a kind of cancer that just eats away at you. It eats away at you. And many of us have become skilled at trying not to pay attention to it, so we get good at kind of pushing it away or pushing it back or just trying to push through it. But in our most reflective moments, You know that those chains have a terrifying, unbreakable grip on your life. The great thing about Jesus is that he talks about this very specific issue, not as a guilt trip, not as a, well, you're just a bad, bad person and you're not doing the right thing. But Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, that look, you're a slave. In fact, later on in that passage, he says, everyone who commits a sin is a slave. But if the Son sets you free, referring to himself, you are free indeed. And so earlier on in that passage, he says, if you abide in my words, in other words, you listen to me and you follow me and you believe what I say and you live it out, then you are truly my disciples, you're truly my followers. And then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. And so there's this beauty that comes from Jesus, and the Bible is very clear that the only way that we can ever have the grip of the chains of sin broken in our lives is through the work of this man who is God named Jesus. When you listen to him, when you respond to his teachings, when he's able to remove the chains of sin around you and he wraps them around his own shoulders and then he carried them to a cross to die, to pay for those sins. And the good news is that he was raised on the third day, and he says to you, here's the deal. I can break this grip of sin through what I did. Do you want that? How far are you going to go carrying the weight and the chains, the multiple chains of sin in your life? How long are you going to stay bound as a slave to sin? We rationalize, well, I'm a pretty good person compared to an axe murderer, rapist, cannibals. But when we take an honest look, when we let God show us an honest look at ourselves, there are chains that have a terrifying grip on your life. And especially, even if you're a Christian, you need to know you can be set free from those today, that they are already gone. You are not an elephant with a shackle around your leg. You can be set free today through the person and the work of Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice, through his forgiveness. You can be set free, and we'll give you the chance to do just that today. There's one more chain I want us to look at real quick. This is the biggest one. You see that tiny little guy sitting on those big links of chains? Even if you're the most optimistic, overachieving, intelligent, super brainiac, high-functioning person, you will not be able to break this chain. Sooner or later, all of us encounter it. And of course, I'm talking about the chain of mortality. And just in case you haven't received the email, your part of the script about how the human drama ends here, none of us get out of here alive. The death rate for the human race hovers around 100%, okay? Sooner or later, we are all going to have to face our mortality and the fact that we will die. And intelligent people have to have enough foresight to ask themselves, what's going to happen to me when the links in the chain of my life run out? The Bible is clear. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, God teaches us that it's appointed for a man to die once, one time. It goes all that my previous ideas about reincarnation and all the things that I thought maybe I could get a second chance about. It's not going to happen according to God's word. It's appointed for a man to die one time. And then comes reckoning. A reckoning with God. A day of reckoning. Then we find out what's on the other side, and there's going to be no exception to this short chain of mortality. We are all bound by it, and you can't avoid dying, and you can't avoid the day of reckoning with the living God either. When you and I will have to stand before him who made everything, who breathed the universe into being, who is Lord over the universe, you can't avoid it. That's what the Bible says. But you can prepare for it. My recommendation to you is that you prepare for that date with the last link of the chain of your life by getting to know the only one who has ever snapped that chain and made it out the other side alive, the resurrected one, the one who is reigning on high, the one who is the Son of God, and by being raised from the dead, proving himself indeed to be the very Son of God himself. His name is Jesus. And I like the way that Jesus said it. In John chapter 11, verse 25, he tells people, in fact, He's dealing with a friend who has just died. And what he tells the people who are mourning, I and the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he or she dies. And so in Jesus, what we find is that death is not the end. That in fact, there is life past the chain of mortality. And so my strongest recommendation to you this morning is that you would get to know the one who has broken that chain, who is resurrected on the other side. Because the truth is, you can go to any cemetery in all the world, and what you will find is a whole bunch of graves that are filled. All of them are occupied. But you can stand in a line outside of Jerusalem, and if you're able to find it, see Jesus' tomb, and it's empty. The only one in all of history that emptied itself and stayed empty. He conquered the grave. He broke the mortality chain, proving that he is God, that he is a savior, that he is a king. And as he was resurrected, he makes resurrection possible and available to all those, to anybody, if you will believe and follow him. That's the story of Easter in a nutshell. So here we are. Let's wrap up. When Jesus promised the gift of eternal life, he's not saying that you have to wait until beyond this chain of mortality to experience him. That you can actually experience eternal life, that it starts now, that the quality of life in his kingdom of heaven can begin as to take effect in your life here on earth. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I, Jesus, have come and come to give life to its fullest." The interesting thing about that verse is that it's actually in the present tense, that you can have life and life abundantly, not tomorrow, not future tense, but starting today. And I know that sounds like a great idea, but it's a little conceptual, it's a little bit ethereal. So how does that work in somebody's life? You are bound by chains in this life. Pick one. Whichever one's your favorite one. I don't know. Wherever you feel most enslaved this morning, okay? Let's think about it that way. Perhaps it's a terrible pain or loss in your life. Perhaps a terrible disappointment. Perhaps a relational issue that we discussed. Perhaps it was a sin in your life. And you've asked maybe Jesus to come into your life, and his eternal life starts being operable in your life in the here and now, because his friendship and lordship in heaven starts now, not after you die, but now. And so it is available for you now. So it comes down to whether or not you've really asked the risen Christ to pay for your sin, to be the leader of your life, to begin the miracle of eternal life in your life today, here and now. And so some of you sitting here this morning, you need to make perhaps the most important decision of your life on this most important day of all of human history. Before we wrap up, you should have received from our greeters a little chain link. Looks like this. If you didn't get one, I'll have the greeters come and bring you one. It looks like this. See this little chain link? And there's a card attached to it. I want to challenge you this morning. This is not some weird magic formula or some weird religious practice, but I want you to think about for yourself. Would you be willing just to write your first name? I'm not going to spam you or anything like that. We're not interested in, like, you know, stalking you in some way. So just write your first name. God knows who you are. And if you have one of those prayer needs, if it's a hurt in this life that you need prayer over, if it is a relational issue in this life that you need prayer over, if it is sin, if it is dealing with mortality and needing to know Jesus. And the cool thing is we have a whole bunch of people who have committed from our GPS prayer team to pray for you for this for a whole month. And they'll do it anonymously. They'll respect your confidentiality, so you don't have to worry. So just write your first name and maybe your prayer need on that card. And if you are willing, I want to challenge you, as there's a time of music, that you would open that chain link as kind of, you know, there's no religious magic to it or anything like that, but it's just a symbol that Jesus does break chains. And that as you take that need, you could come up and set it in one of these baskets up front. If you have a life trial that you need prayer over, we would love to pray for that. If you have a relational issue that you need prayer over, we'd love to pray over that. Or if you're enslaved by some kind of sin, or you haven't dealt with your mortality issues, we would love to pray for that. And all you have to do is come up and just drop in the basket, and then you can leave. In fact, I'm going to dismiss the service at the end of this message and just pray for you guys, and you'll be dismissed. But before I do, would you have the courage to consider experiencing, maybe letting God do some work in your life, and taking that need that you have and giving it up to God in prayer? If you're humble enough to ask and seek and knock, I believe that the power of God will do something in your life, will get some work done, will release you from whatever chain that you're actually facing. And instead of just walking out of this service, I'm going to challenge you to let Jesus get some work done in your life, to solve some problems maybe that you have, maybe to see some of the power of God at work in your life so that you can find that He is indeed trustworthy. So if you're facing anything overwhelming this morning, just put your first name and that need, just a few words of your need on that card. State your need. My name is Josh. Need a job. I have a medical issue. I have a loss in my life. I'm lonely. I need to reconcile with my husband or wife. If it's a mortality issue, that can be solved today through the risen power of Jesus Christ. This is serious business. We don't just play church here. But we really believe and we really care about you and your needs and your future and your eternity and your families. So if you have the guts, I'm going to challenge you to put your first name in that need. And then after we close in prayer, you can just turn this card, just come walk up to the front, just drop it in the respective basket. And then you're done. We're done for the morning. I'll say Happy Easter, and you can drop off your card and walk on out of here. But if you're willing, I'm going to offer you one last challenge. If you are willing and you feel like I am willing to give God a chance to show His power in my life, there's no weird religious stuff to it, but you don't have to just drop your card off in the basket. We're going to have some of our leadership team up here on the front, and we'd be willing to actually sit here and pray for you. We would love to pray for you. And, you know, completely confidential, but sometimes we need to experience the power of God in a very personal way. And of all days, Resurrection Sunday, that's not even the biggest thing He's done on a day like today. So if you want, I want to challenge you to take a walk of faith to the front. And then if you want to be prayed for personally, you can take that need to us, and we would love to pray for you. And otherwise, I'm going to pray for us and then wish you a happy Easter and dismiss you. Okay? Let's pray.